from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian Vice President Gibran reviews free nutritious meal trial in high school. Blinken urges Israel to restore humanitarian aid to Gaza. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka reviews the free nutritious meal program trial at State Junior High School 270 in Jakarta on Wednesday. Vice President Gibran attended the school with the acting governor of Jakarta, Teguh Setiabudi. In a brief press conference, Gibran said the high school students were enthusiastic about the meal given to them.
Seperti kemarin, kita melakukan uji coba.
We conducted a free nutritious meal trial with the acting governor of Jakarta at State Elementary School 3 Menteng, Jakarta yesterday, and State Junior High School 270 this day. We saw in several classes that the enthusiasm of the students was extraordinary.
Antusiasme para siswa siswi luar biasa sekali.
While asked by Vice President Gibran, the students said they liked the meal set, which included various food and drinks such as vegetables and milk. Gibran also said he would attend the cabinet-level meeting after the visit to discuss the program alongside other issues. Gibran also asked the public to wait for further direction from Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto regarding the program implementation. Less than 24 hours after his inauguration, the new Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Sugiono, departed for Kazan, Russia on Tuesday. As quoted from the ministry statement on Tuesday, Minister Sugiono attends the BRICS Plus 2024 summit from Wednesday to Thursday as a special envoy of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto. This is Sugiono's first official visit after being officially inaugurated as minister. According to the ministry, his presence at the forum reaffirms Indonesia's commitment to continue playing an active role in international forums and strengthening relations with all countries, including BRICS member states. At the summit, Indonesia will convey a message of peace and call for the importance of developing countries and the Global South countries to unite, enhance solidarity, and create a more inclusive, just, and equitable world order. BRICS is a forum formed by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa to discuss current global issues. Later, the United Arab Emirates, Iran, Egypt, and Ethiopia joined the group. We continue with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, who has set up the Hajj and Umrah Agency as a separate entity from the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs to allow the government to focus more on safe and comfortable Hajj for Muslim pilgrims. Head of the Hajj and Umrah Agency, Muhammad Irfan Yusuf, conveyed this after attending the inauguration of heads of special agencies and deputy heads of agencies in Jakarta on Tuesday. As reported by Antara State News Agency, Yusuf said President Prabowo hoped the agency could be fully independent next year. Yusuf and his staff carried out two missions to fulfill Prabowo's hopes for improving Hajj and Umrah services, namely ensuring that all pilgrims depart safely and providing comfort during their pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. The last national news comes from Indonesian Non-Governmental Islamic Union, the Indonesian Ulama Council, strongly condemns Israel's high explosive bomb attack on refugee tents at a hospital in Deir al-Balah, Gaza Strip, Palestine, on October 14. Palestinian media reports said the attack killed at least 4 people and injured 70 others. As reported by Antara from the Council's press release received on Tuesday, the Council's Chairman for Foreign Relations and International Cooperation, Sudarmoto Abdul Hakim, conveyed his strong condemnation, calling Israel's massacre and barbarism an immoral act. According to Abdul Hakim, the attack is proof of the moral depravity and the damaged minds and mentality of the Israeli troops and government. Now we move to the international news. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken told Israeli President Isaac Herzog during a meeting in Tel Aviv, Israel, on Tuesday, that it is imperative to restore sustained humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, Palestine. As reported by Anadolu News Agency, U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said the United States also reiterated the importance of ending the war between Israel and the Palestinian organization Hamas in Gaza in a way that secures the release of hostages and creates the conditions for broader regional stability. The conversation between Blinken and Herzog also touched on ongoing efforts to de-escalate tensions in the region, while Blinken reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to Israel's security. Britain's King Charles III will be offered the title of High Chief in Samoa in a 3-day visit starting on Wednesday, and will be shown the impact of rising sea levels due to climate change in the Pacific Island nation. As reported by Reuters, Lenatai Victor Tamapua, a Samoan chief and member of parliament, said he planned to offer the title of Tui Taumeasina to the monarch during a traditional ceremonial welcome to Charles and Queen Camilla on Thursday. He will later lead King Charles through a walkway on a mangrove reserve, highlighting the impact of climate change on the Pacific nations and its communities. We end the news with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has visited missile bases to examine their readiness to undertake actions of strategic deterrence, while calling United States' nuclear capabilities a growing threat to the country. As reported by Reuters from the North Korean news agency KCNA on Wednesday, Kim said the U.S. strategic nuclear arsenal poses an ever-increasing threat to North Korea's security environment, which demands that Pyongyang maintain a strict counteraction posture of its nuclear forces. In the report, Kim also called for the modernization of the armed forces by prioritizing strategic missiles in the future, calling it an important principle of the strategy for building national defense. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's commentary is about Foreign Minister, the face of Indonesia on the international stage. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has inaugurated Minister of the Merah Putih Cabinet, who will assist him in running the government. One of the ministers receiving public attention is the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs. President Prabowo appointed Sugiono to fill in the post. This is the first time in the past 2 decades that the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is being led by someone who is not a diplomat. However, foreign affairs are not new for Sugiono. He was previously the deputy chairman of the Commission 1 in the Indonesian House of Representatives from 2019 to 2024. With responsibilities in defense, foreign affairs, communication and informatics, and intelligence. A day after his inauguration, Minister Sugiono undertook his task by attending an international meeting. Sugiono received the invitation to the 2024 BRICS Plus Summit, hosted by Russia on October 23rd to 24th, 2024. BRICS is a cooperative forum established by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa to discuss current global issues.
A press release from the ministry on Tuesday stated that Minister Sugiono's presence at the forum affirms Indonesia's commitment to continue playing an active role in international forums and strengthening relations with all countries, including BRICS members' nations. At the BRICS Plus Summit, Indonesia will voice an important message of peace and call for the need for developing countries and the Global South to unite, increase solidarity, and play an important role in creating a more inclusive, just, and equal world order. Minister Sugiono tasked to strengthen Indonesia's position on the international stage are already lined up. With his three deputy ministers and the ministry work ethic, it is expected that Sugiono will add to Indonesia's record of achievements and best contribution to the international community. Minister Sugiono has emphasized his commitment to continuing the efforts of his predecessor, Retno Marsudi, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and in international diplomacy. Minister Sugiono will reflect Indonesia's efforts and commitment on the international stage to realize and shape the country's diplomatic policies. Best of luck in your duties, Minister Sugiono. And that was commentary.
We begin today in history on October 23, 1956, which is recognized as the day of the Hungarian Revolution. On this day in 1956, the Hungarian Revolution was declared. The revolution began as a popular uprising against the communist government supported by the Soviet Union. Initially, it was a protest led by students in Budapest, but it soon expanded into a widespread struggle for political reform and freedom. Soviet forces attempted to suppress the demonstrations but failed to quell the people's determination for change. The climax of the revolution occurred on November 4, 1956, when the Soviet Union launched a large-scale assault, ending the uprising with thousands of casualties and a significant number of refugees fleeing the country. Although the revolution failed to achieve its original goals, it became a symbol of resistance to communist oppression and inspired the spirit of democracy around the world. Next, we turn to an event on October 23, 2014, which is marked as International Snow Leopard Day. International Snow Leopard Day is commemorated annually on October 23rd. Established in 2014, this day aims to raise awareness about the importance of protecting the endangered snow leopard species and to urge action to stop illegal poaching. The initiative is supported by countries that are home to snow leopards, including Uzbekistan, Russia, Mongolia, and India. On October 23, 2013, these nations signed the Bishkek Declaration on Snow Leopard Conservation during the first Global Snow Leopard Forum in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. We end today in history on October 23, 2019, when Indonesian 7th President Joko Widodo inaugurated the government cabinet named Kabinet Indonesia Maju, or the Advance Indonesia Cabinet. The Advance Indonesia Cabinet is the governing cabinet led by the then President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, announced on October 23, 2019. This cabinet consists of 4 coordinating ministers and 30 ministers, based on Presidential Decree number 113/P of 2019. Since then, the cabinet has undergone several changes, including the introduction of 6 new figures on December 23, 2020, as per Presidential Decree number 133/P of 2020. Then on April 28, 2021, President Joko Widodo again appointed 2 ministers, which also included the formation of the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, as well as the Ministry of Investment. These changes reflect the cabinet's adjustments to meet the needs of governance during the 2019-2024 period. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto appoints Luhut Binsar Panjaitan as Chairman of National Economic Council. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto appointed Luhut Binsar Panjaitan as Chairman of the National Economic Council of the Red and White Cabinet for the 2024-2029 period at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday, October the 21st. After his inauguration, Luhut Panjaitan told the media that President Prabowo Subianto asked him to help improve the economic governance. He stated that digitalization would make governance more efficient. Quoting RRI.co.id, he said that President Prabowo has set targets for increasing national revenue from various sectors, such as the e-catalog, the mineral and coal information system between ministries, the nickel Simbara system, palm oil, and government technology. He explained that the National Economic Council would collaborate with the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs. The Council's role is to provide advice and recommendations to ensure the successful implementation of priority economic programs. According to him, the National Economic Council will act as an economic think tank consisting of several economic experts. President Prabowo Subianto decided to establish the council to anticipate economic challenges such as food security, energy transition, climate change, and geopolitical issues. The National Economic Council is not a new institution in Indonesia. The fourth president of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid, had previously established such council in 1999 through a presidential decree. It stated the council's function was to advise the president on economic matters, to accelerate the resolution of the crisis, improve the national economy, and prepare for the challenges of globalization. The functions of the National Economic Council include studying economic issues to provide advice to the president, addressing economic concerns raised by the public, and carrying out other assignments related to its function as directed by the president. That was my Indonesia Today. Saat aku tersentak
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to the province of Central Java, Indonesia, which has many beautiful waterfalls. One of them is Grojogan Sewu. Grojogan is the Javanese word for waterfall. Grojogan Sewu, or people also like to call it Tawang Mangu Waterfall, is located in Tawang Mangu District, Karanganyar Regency, Central Java. Grojogan Sewu Waterfall is located on the slopes of Mount Lawu. Grojogan Sewu is located about 27 kilometers east of Karanganyar City. It is part of Grojogan Sewu Tourism Forest. While the name translates to a thousand waterfalls, there are actually several waterfall points to enjoy within the area. Grojogan Sewu Tourism Forest spans 20 hectares, filled with various types of forest trees and inhabited by a group of tame monkeys. Grojogan Sewu Waterfall has complete facilities to support tourism. Some of them are forest animal park, swimming pool, resting areas, food stalls, fruit and souvenir shops, prayer rooms, and toilets. There are two entrances to reach the waterfall. At the first entrance, visitors must descend about 550 steps to reach the waterfall. Upon being exiting, there is another staircase with 700 steps to return to the entrance. In total, visitors will need to conquer 1,250 steps to reach the waterfall's main attraction. Listener, although the journey requires extra effort, the breathtaking beauty awaiting at the waterfall is well worth it. One of the popular photo spots at Grojogan Sewu is the bridge that stretches in front of the waterfall. This bridge is often used as a place for photos or to simply enjoy waterfall's beauty from a safe distance. For those planning to visit Grojogan Sewu Waterfall, the entrance fee for local tourists is 22,000 rupiah, while international tourists are charged 175,000 rupiah. The waterfall is open every day with operational hours from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Alun sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kabuku, dalam hati ada satu, manis lembut bisikan.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bima. Di Bima, which means in Bima. You will listen to a conversation about di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. The monologue is by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who is recording a vlog about his hotel room around Sub Airport, Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara. Let's listen to his monologue.
Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sape. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC.
After listening to the monologue, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Di dalam, which means inside. Kamar, kamar, which means room. Meja, meja, which means table. Lemari, lemari, which means wardrobe. Televisi, televisi, which means television. AC, AC, which means air conditioner. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC, which means inside the room there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Menempuh, menempuh, which means go through. Perjalanan, perjalanan, which means trip. Kabupaten Bima, which means Bima Regency. Menginap, menginap, which means stay. Pelabuhan Sape, Pelabuhan Sape, which means Sape Port. Kapal, kapal, which means ship. In the monologue, there is the expression di dalam kamar ada meja, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC, which means inside the room there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. There is the adverb di dalam, which means inside, which shows a particular location or place, namely a space that contains something.
the expression di dalam, which means inside. In the monologue, shows an hotel room that contains a table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Other example. Let's listen to another use of di dalam, which means inside, in another sentence. Di dalam kapal ada restoran. Di dalam kapal ada restoran, which means inside the ship there is a restaurant. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus, which means Chris put his camera inside a special bag. In Indonesian, there are some variations of places to stay. Besides hotel, which means hotel, there are also wisma, which means guest house. Losmen, which means inn. Penginapan, which means lodge. Pondok, which means cottage. And resort, which means resort. The difference falls on the facility and shape. Wisma, which means guest house, usually has less facility than hotel, which means hotel. While pondok, which means cottage, and resort, which means resort, have different shape or form from hotel. Pondok, which means cottage, and resort, which means resort, usually has some separated buildings or rooms instead of one single big building like a hotel. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sape. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about di dalam kamar. Di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who wanna know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Coba menahani tempat ku berlabuh, terdampar di karunia satu sisi dunia, hadir di muka bumi tersaji indah, ku ingin rasakan cinta.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song called Isen Mulang. Isen Mulang is a motto of the Dayak tribe of Central Kalimantan, Indonesia, which means never back down. The meaning of Isen Mulang is always being oriented towards achievement or good result. The song was composed by Abe Sandan. The lyrics tell about the Dayak tribe who are brave and never give up. The song also invites people of all ages to move forward together. Isen Mulang becomes the motto of the city of Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Well, listener, here is the song Isen Mulang by Yuldi F., Siska Friskila, and Lisa Bahan. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pembangunan, mari giatkan pembangunan.